you will further enlighten. This is the nature of spiritual knowledge. So Vidura got further enlightened, further purified, and he got an ardent desire and eagerness to come and preach to Dhritarashtra. Srila Prabhupada says that he wants all devotees of ISKCON to at least come to the level of preaching or assisting in preaching activities. We hear and keep silent. That is one way. We hear and speak what we have heard. That is another way. And the second way helps us to grow further. We preach not because we are great speakers, but we preach because that is part of our sadhana. Just like hearing Krishna Katha is our sadhana, similarly speaking Krishna Katha is our sadhana. Reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, it means reciting when you are alone, and also means reciting when there is somebody to hear, an audience, a class. Both is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is part of our sadhana. One of the five processes of bhakti is to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, whether alone or with devotees. So speaking Krishna Katha is also part of our sadhana. In fact, in the nine symptoms of ecstatic love, one of them is a devotee who is loving Krishna is always eager 24 hours to speak about Krishna. If you love somebody, you keep on speaking about that person. That's even in material world. So Vidura was very anxious to speak about Krishna and to liberate Dhritarashtra. Vidura had some affection for Dhritarashtra. Whole life Vidura was with Dhritarashtra. Vidura was a minister advising Dhritarashtra as per dharma, as per shastras, and whole life he tried that the blind Dhritarashtra get eyes of knowledge. But it didn't work. But now with further enlightenment, with further armor and weapons, with further ammunition, Vidura wanted to further try again that Dhritarashtra gets liberated. So he came back to Hastinapur, and all the residents of palace, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, Kunti, Subhadra, Draupadi, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, and all other ladies and children, they were extremely, extremely happy, joyful to welcome Yudhishthir again, to welcome Vidura again. So much so that they were having tears in their eyes, some were falling at his feet, because Vidura was such a nice person. Everybody loved him. Only Duryodhan, Shakuni, they didn't like Vidura. And Duryodhan offended, insulted Vidura. And he took as an opportunity to go. So then Yudhishthir Maharaj, as we discussed last time, offered first class reception, nice meal, new clothes, nice bathing paraphernalia, offered him a room to take rest, and when he was sufficiently relaxed, he offered him a nice seat, and in front of his family members, he started speaking to him. The first words which Yudhishthir spoke were words of gratitude. Yudhishthir, even though he became the emperor of the whole planet, and only for him to become emperor, 640 lakh people were killed. Only for him to become emperor, the war was fought. Only for him to become emperor, Krishna agreed to become chariot driver of Arjuna and did so many manipulations. But still Yudhishthira didn't feel proud. Imagine Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, personally coming in the war to make Yudhishthira as an emperor. It would seem like an ordinary person will become so much proud of this, so much puffed up. But Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't. He always remembered his well-wishers who helped him to survive and finally make him reach this position of emperor of the planet. And one of them was Vidura. It is very essential that when we have some achievements in life, we don't neglect or forget those who have contributed to our life. Especially when boys and girls become young and they achieve something, they earn money or they get some nice position in the corporate or in the society, they forget their parents or their teachers. They are not grateful to them. This is considered a sinful activity, sufficient to make us visit hell. Ungratefulness or lack of gratitude. So it is very essential that we cultivate gratefulness. Yudhishthira Maharaj is herein very affectionately reminding everybody, including Vidura, how Vidura protected and safeguarded the Pandavas. When King Pandu, he died in the forest, the five Pandavas were small boys. And Madri, one of the queen of Pandu, she became Sati. So only Kunti remained with the five boys and she came to the palace of Hastinapur. At that time, Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Vidura, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, they were there. Dhritarashtra was the king. Dhritarashtra had very great affection for his brother Pandu and hence for the sons of Pandu. So he welcomed them. But still, Dhritarashtra had one very big concern in his heart. The concern was, today I am the king. As expected, Duryodhana should be king after me. He is my son. This throne belongs to Pandu. But actually, before Pandu, this throne belonged to me. I was blind, so it was given to Pandu. But actually, it belonged to me. So after me, it should belong to Duryodhana. He is not blind. So it should go to him. But Yudhishthira was elder to Duryodhana. An elder of Pandu, elder son. So it should go to Yudhishthira. So Dhritarashtra thought, when Yudhishthira grows up, he will take away my throne and my sons will not get the throne. And he was so much attached and affectionate to his son that he felt this as a big thorn in his heart. So even though Dhritarashtra was equally affectionate to Pandavas and his sons, but because of this and because of his personal ambition to make his son the king, and because of Duryodhana's enviousness to Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas, Dhritarashtra was in the party of making intrigue, making schemes to kill the Pandavas. And politically, Duryodhana was well protected by the king, Dhritarashtra, who was his father. And the five Pandavas were just under Kunti Maharani, who had no say in the political circle, in the political forum. And the five small boys, how they will speak in the political forum. So they were literally orphans politically. So when Vidura saw this, he felt a need that I should protect these boys. And because these boys were very well behaved, automatically Vidura, Bhishma, Pitama, they were very affectionate to them. So any person who is weak, weak in front of us, as compared to us, or as compared to the general circumstances, if a person is weak, then it becomes our natural duty to give protection. A natural behavior towards a weak person is exploitation or abuse or manipulation or insulting or teasing or laughing. But this is all bad behavior, in fact sinful. When we are in presence of a weak person, a diseased person, an invalid person, a poor person, a junior, then it is our duty to offer love, care and protection. When the Shastras say that everybody should protect women, children, cows, brahmanas and senior citizens, is because of the same reason. Because they are weak, they need help, they need support from the society, they need protection from bad elements. A cow needs protection from people who are eager to slaughter. A child, a woman, a brahmana, they need protection. So whoever is senior, senior by age, senior by material position, senior by social status, senior by spiritual status, should offer protection, care and love to those who are juniors. In that way, the dependents, they are empowered to grow in their life, to grow in their spiritual life. Just like in the house, even if there are 5-6 members, the smallest person, the smallest baby, is given first care and protection. Everything is centered around that baby. Then only the baby grows. If the house, everybody is thinking, chalo apne aap kha lega, or he'll manage himself. No. The whole family atmosphere is required, then the baby grows. Baby requires attention of everybody who is in the house. The grandfather, the grandmother, the brother, the sister, the father, the mother, the guests, the neighbors, anybody who comes to the house, they have to give attention to the baby. And when that happens, then the baby grows. Similarly, when a new devotee comes, everybody should give attention. Then the new devotee will grow. We have an opposite culture. We give full attention to the senior devotee or a sannyasi. Nothing wrong. I am not against it. I also receive. But what about new devotee? Who requires more care? Who, sannyasi or senior devotee? There are many to serve. New devotee, nobody to take care. So then that's not very healthy. So both should be done. So when Vidura saw these 5 sons of Pandus, so dharmic, so well behaved, so powerful, but helpless, weak, not having any political support, being affectionate to them, he started helping them. And when he saw Duryodhan being envious and attacking them, he started chastising Duryodhan. And when he saw Dhritarashtra, the king, having blind affection towards Duryodhan and hence supporting him in his schemes against the Pandavas, he started opposing and instructing Dhritarashtra not to do it. But even after instructing Dhritarashtra, even after chastising Duryodhan, things were not changing. So he used to personally protect the Pandavas. So because of all this, he was visible as partial candidate. Partiality in general is not considered a welcome behavior. If a leader or a manager is partial to one than other, then he is not respected. And if he continues to be partial to A or B, then others get frustrated, they lose faith, they don't like the leader. So it is very tough to be a leader. If you come in a room full of your followers and you give smile to one or two and not others, they think, देखो हमसे तो बात भी नहीं करता है. But you speak to everybody, then the class will be over before it starts. So it's not easy. So Vidura, he was visibly partial to all the Pandavas because of their weakness, because of their good behavior, because of the lack of political support they had. So this was visible in the whole palace. And because of that partiality, the Pandavas were protected. Going against the king, going against the son of the king and protecting, this was a big risk Vidura used to take, and he took it every time. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is referring to all that and expressing his gratitude that you protected us with our mother so many times from poison, from Lakshadhara. Just like a bird protects the eggs with wings. When there are eggs in the nest, the bird will flap the wings and it will protect from climatic situations. Rain, heat, winter, cold, the eggs will be protected by the wings. In the same way, Vidura used to protect by his instructions, by his guidance, by his support. And the classic example of this is Lakshadhara. When Yudhishthira Maharaj was appointed the crown prince, Yuvaraj, one who will succeed the throne, because he was very, very popular among the masses. He was more popular than Duryodhana. So Dhritarashtra, even though he didn't want to appoint him, but he had to appoint him. So at that time Duryodhana was very, very disturbed. There was one minister which Dhritarashtra had who was very political minded. So when Dhritarashtra was very disturbed, he called that minister. That minister was Shakuni's friend. So his name was Kanika. So Dhritarashtra asked Kanika, look, Yudhishthira, I equally love Yudhishthira. I have very great affection for Yudhishthira. He is son of my brother Pandu. But since he has been appointed as Yuvraj, I am feeling very disturbed. Because my son Duryodhana is affected by this, and I can't see my son Duryodhana sad. I know he is sad for a wrong reason, but still I am very disturbed, very agitated. What should I do? And Kanika said, my dear king, should I tell you frankly? He said, yes. He said, a king should get rid of his enemies as soon as possible. Even if you have to kill your enemies, that's fine. And Dhritarashtra was surprised to hear this. He said, but how can I kill my Pandavas? They are dependent on me. They don't have a father. Their father is my brother who is killed. So they are small boys. For me, they are small boys. I have to protect them. But Kanika gave so many arguments of politics that how a king should get rid of his enemies, even if they are his parents, mother, father, wife, spiritual preceptor, anybody. Otherwise the king will have sleepless nights, and anytime anything can happen, these people will unite and the throne will be gone. So a king to protect his throne should be ready to kill anybody. And in this case, if you kill them openly, your throne again will go, because the masses will go against you. So you'll have to make a scheme so that it looks like an accident. This is what Kanika told. So this went into Dhritarashtra's mind that yes, this is a possibility. And here Shakuni and Duryodhana, they already made a scheme to kill the Pandavas. So Duryodhana, he came to Dhritarashtra and he explained to him that I am very disturbed. am thinking of committing suicide. The pastor said, why you want to commit suicide? He said, because I'll have to live under the reign of Yudhishthir Maharaj. And I can't live under him. My food will be dependent on him. My son's food will be dependent on his sons. My grandson's food will depend on his grandson. I can't live like that. So the pastor said, what do you want? He said, you send Yudhishthir away. You send all the Pandavas away. And we do something that they don't come back. Same thing which Kanika told. Dhritarashtra said, how that is possible? Wouldn't that be evil? Wouldn't that be sinful? Wouldn't people will go against us? Duryodhana said, you don't worry. I have a foolproof plan. There is a yearly fair, religious fair of Lord Shiva at a nearby city called Varnavrat. So you arrange that Yudhishthira with all his brothers and Kunti Maharani, they go to Varnavrat, tell them to enjoy there and return back. Rest I will take. But he told him the whole plan and Dhritarashtra agreed. Then next day Dhritarashtra arranged many of his ministers to glorify Varnavrat in the assembly. The Varnavrat is a very nice city, people are very happy there. And there is a very nice gathering of Lord Shiva. So much entertainment is going on. And so much beautiful roads are there. And so nice gardens are there. And the palace is very nice. With gold and pearls and diamonds. And the food is first class. And they went on. So many people the trust arranged to come one by one in the assembly and give news of Varnavrat. So many times it happened that Yudhishthira started getting interest in Varnavrat. And he told once to Dhritarashtra, wow, this seems to be a nice place to visit. Immediately Dhritarashtra said, yes, why don't you go for a picnic? Why don't you and your brothers take your mother also? You go, I will arrange everything. There you worship Lord Shiva, hunt in the forest, relax, do some chanting and reading. And there are so many brahmanas, I will give you pearls, gems, diamonds, gold, and lots of cows and cloth, you give gift to the brahmanas. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, yes, yes, I will go. If you desire, I will go. But Yudhishthira Maharaj is very clever. He understood something, plan is going on. Why he wants to send me? If it is such a nice place, he should send his sons. Because generally father will think, my son should enjoy. So definitely there is some scheme going on. But he thought, okay, I will go. So when Duryodhana came to know this, he again discussed with Dhritarashtra. He said, I have one minister called Purochan. I have already discussed with him. He will go. He will make a house. And Pandavas will stay there with full opulent luxuries. And he will make the house in such a way that it can be easily burned. And all the Pandavas will die. Dhritarashtra said, even if they die, the masses may not accept you as the king. Because they have already seen Yudhishthira Maharaj's behavior. So Duryodhana said, I have discussed with Dushasan. As soon as Pandavas go from here, even before that, we will start giving lots of amenities. We will reduce the taxes. We will give lots of gifts to all the citizens. So that they become our, in our family. So actually Duryodhana started emptying the treasury. He started giving money to the seniors, whoever prominent citizens were there, started constructing public amenities and utilities. He spent so much money. Yudhishthira, when he saw this, suddenly Duryodhana spending so much money on public, and suddenly they are planning to send me to Varnavrat, he understood there is a plan going on. But he didn't know what is the plan. Duryodhana, this plan was made by Shakuni. Duryodhana called Purochan. He said, look Purochan. Purochan was his minister. He said, whatever world, whatever wealth is there in this whole kingdom is mine and is yours. Shouldn't we protect our wealth? So I want you to protect this wealth. And the enemies of this wealth are these five Pandavas. So you immediately go to Varnagar very fast and make a palace made of all inflammable materials with lots of ghee, butter, wood, lac. Laksha is lac. Very flammable, very, if you touch a spark, you burst into flames, using paints and all. So very wood, wood. So you use all these and make a palace, but Yudhishthira should not come. Once they are staying comfortably, one fine day, you put fire and kill all of them. I will reward you with unlimited wealth. And nobody should know this. Prasad said, yes master, I will do what you say. And immediately took his private team and they went and made a big palace. Meanwhile here Yudhishthira and his brothers and Kunti Maharani, they were all making ready for the trip. All packing and all these things. So when the final day came, they took blessings of Dhritarashtra, they took blessings of Bhishma Pitama. And they were going on the chariot. Vidur was also with them. Vidur wanted to speak to Yudhishthira in private. But he was not getting any opportunity to speak in private. So many citizens came and told Yudhishthira not to go. Some citizens thought that Dhritarashtra is sending you unnecessarily. It is not necessary to go. You be here. And as soon as possible, you take over Dhritarashtra. You sit on the throne. Why you are going for picnic now? Now you have to become the king. So Yudhishthira Maharaj explained them, don't worry, he is our father, he is the king, we should obey him. He has requested us to go to Varnavar, so we will go. So when almost the boundary of the city came, Vidura had no chance to speak to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj begged farewell from everybody, including Vidura, by touching his feet. So at that time, finding no other opportunity, Vidura spoke in a very called a Malay language, a language in which what you speak rarely can somebody understand. The words are mixed in your lips only, unintelligible words. Malay dialect is called. So he spoke in a very different language. Nobody understood what he is speaking, as if he didn't speak. So Yudhishthira Maharaj heard the whole thing and he also replied in the same language, he knew it. And he said, yes, yes, okay. And Vidura, what he spoke, even if somebody had heard it, they would not understand. He spoke in very coded language, coded words. One thing Vidura told is that there is a weapon which is not sharp like other metals, but it is more sharp. It is not sharp. It is not like other metals. But it is very sharp and can kill anybody. But if you know about it, you can be protected. There is a weapon which is not metal, which is not iron, but is more sharp. It can kill anybody. But if you know about it, you can be protected. This is the fun thing he told. This indicates
fire.
Fire is a weapon. But not metal, but very sharp. If you know about fire, you can be away. If you don't know about fire, you will be captured. So he said. Then he said, fire can burn body but not soul. The soul is always protected. And even if there is big forest fire, rats are protected or porcupines are protected because they stay in a hole. So this was indicating of a tunnel. And the third thing he says, if your senses are controlled, the enemies cannot disturb you. So this was telling him to be alert, not to sleep. He spoke in this language. And Yudhishthira Maharaj understood this. So then they went. Kunti Maharani came to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, what did Vidura speak to you? What was it? You said, yes, yes. I didn't understand why he was speaking like this. I never seen him speaking like this. So Yudhishthira Maharaj explained to Kunti Maharani and all his brothers that this trip to Varnavar is not a picnic. This is a plan to kill us. The palace where we are staying, they are going to burn it with fire. And Vidura has said that he will arrange a tunnel so that we can escape from fire. And he has told us to always be alert. So Kunti and all the Pandavas were very affected by this. The journey continued, they reached Varnavar. Now when they reached Varnavar, Purochan's palace was not ready. It was not ready. Purochan tried a lot, but he couldn't finish the job. So for first 10 days, they stayed in one guest house, a city official's house. And they met all the citizens. All the citizens were very happy that Pandavas are coming. They welcomed them very nicely. On the 10th day, Purochan came running to Pandavas, said, "Your palace is ready. Why are you staying here? The king has arranged a very nice palace for you." And they said, "Okay." So they went. As soon as he saw the door, Yudhishthira Maharaj understood that there is enough smell and enough material here to burn it in 1 second, 1 moment. But Purochan had actually made it so nicely that no person easily can observe. So much ghee and butter he has used in all the ingredients, which was inside the walls. It was not visible outside. Outside, like we put plaster, it was just plaster. But all was lac, and inside all the furniture and all were of lac, and many, many decorative items were kept, pots kind of things. And in each pot of decorative item, ghee and butter was kept. And it was giving that smell, that fragrance. When Yudhishthira Maharaj saw this, it was all confirmed what Vidura told, that the Purochan is going to burn them. And Purochan's room was right at the door, so that if the Pandavas are going out or coming in, he comes to him. So then in private, Yudhishthira Maharaj told everybody, "What is this happening?" So Bhima said, "Why are we staying here? Let us go back." Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "No. If we go back, they will come to know. We are knowing their plan. Duryodhana may try to kill us in another way." And Bhima said, "Okay, let us run away from here." Said, "No, even if you run away, he will send his spies and again try to kill us. But if you stay here, but not allow them to know that we know, then we are safe. But we have to be alert." So then they stayed there. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, every day, they used to go for hunting. But actually they were not going for hunting. They were going to see all the forest paths, which route leads to where, so that they are aware of the geography. So the day they run, even if it is night time, they know where to go away from the city. But they will enjoy, they will laugh, they will joke. They never showed to Purochan that they are in agitation, disturbed, suspicious. They would show that they are very peaceful and joyful, but internally they were actually disturbed, always alert. And Bhim would always be awake. Every day Purochan will see that today I burn this, but you see Bhim is awake, watching the door. Bhim never slept. 1 year, one complete year, Purochan was waiting, when to burn, when to burn, when to burn. Bhim never slept. He was always awake in the first room. Purochan was just waiting. 1 full year went by. In between this, Vidura, he sent one miner who can dig. And he came and introduced himself to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he also spoke the same alleged language message which Vidura said. So to confirm that he was Vidura's person. And he told, "I will dig for you. It will take 6 months. And he dig it right from the main room, bedroom in the between. He dug a very big tunnel in the bank of the Ganges, in the forest, so that they can escape. So after 1 year, once Kunti Maharani, she wanted to give very big feast to all the prominent citizens. So she arranged a very big feast, and all the prominent citizens and the sadhus, they ate. At night when they were retiring, so there was some prasad, some food left. So they were doing food for life. And a Nishad woman with her 5 sons, she happened to come there. This our tribe is those who stay in jungles. And they ate this feast very heavily and they drank wine right in that room outside the palace. And they slept there only. One woman and five. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't know about this. Kunti Maharani didn't know about this. Nobody knew that there's somebody sleeping in that room. Nobody knew that. Even Purochan didn't know. Because the feast program was over, they all retired. This came Putva life, or you don't know who is eating in Putva life. This came later. So at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhim, this Purochan is going to burn the house in a day or two. You will burn today and escape. Purochan will die. And let them think we died. So then they all escaped from the tunnel and we put fire first on Purochan's door and then the whole palace, and they escaped. Purochan died and the woman and the five sons also died, and all the citizens came to know, but they couldn't do anything. And the news spread that Maharani Kunti and the five Pandavas died. But they escaped from the tunnel. When they came out of the tunnel, there was such a dangerous forest. It was so dark, you can't see anything. They couldn't walk properly. And Kunti Maharani couldn't walk. There were so many thorns. There were trees, but you can't see trees. You're again and again banging the trees. And they had to run because the soldiers can anytime see them. So what did Bhim do? He picked up all the four Pandavas and Kunti Maharani and he ran. Every tree which came in between was broken. Bhim was so powerful, 10,000 elephants ka power he had. So he would just run. Finally they came to the bank of the Ganges. Vidura had arranged a boat there. And a man, boatman. He again spoke in the same language to make his identification clear. And then they crossed the river. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is remembering all this. That Vidura protected them in so many ways. Giving them a warning, giving them in this language message that there is going to be danger, then arranging a miner to dig, arranging a boatman to take them across Ganges. Practically Vidura did everything personally. Vidura would collect all this information through his spies, through his intelligence, through his cleverness, and he protected the Pandavas. Otherwise Pandavas would have died much before. So they are very grateful to the Pandavas. Vidura is a pure devotee of Krishna. But a pure devotee of Krishna also, when in the palace politics, couldn't protect other devotees directly. He had to do politics. He had to do diplomacy. That is the nature of a Kshatriya community. A Brahmana community or a Brahmana leadership and a Kshatriya manager, they work in a different way for the same purpose. Whole Varnashram, the objective is to please Vishnu. The objective is to take care of people in such a way that they are peacefully engaged in Krishna's service. But they all operate in different ways. So we should not compare a way a Brahmana, a Kshatriya and a Vaishya operates and think one is wrong and other is right. No, they are operating as per their nature. You can't compare a Karela and a mango and say Karela is wrong. It should improve. It should become little sweet, chant more rounds, get up early morning, do sadhana, associate with sugar. You can't say all this. The nature of Karela will not change by that. Similarly, a Brahmana will act as a Brahmana, a Kshatriya will act as a Kshatriya, a Vaishya will act as a Vaishya, Shudra will act as a Shudra. That nature cannot change, it's very difficult. So as per their nature, they should do their occupation. As per their nature, they should take up responsibility and in that way contribute to the development of the society. So we should not compare a Brahmana and a Kshatriya, a Kshatriya and a Shudra, a Vaishya and a Brahmana. I think this is acting this way, this is behaving this way. No, their behavior, their nature is different. They are acting as per their roles, as per their occupation, and they are helping the society. The problem comes when one person does a job of other. The Brahmana does a Kshatriya job, or a Kshatriya does a Shudra job, or a Shudra does a Brahmana job, which is happening nowadays. That is where the problem comes. So then the society is in place. Establishing Varnashram is part of Krishna conscious culture. We are far away from it. We don't have very strong Varnashram system, even in ISKCON, what to speak about in the society. It will take lots of time. But this is not a bad system, which people say caste system, where people are exploited in the name of higher caste. No, it is not like that. This is very scientific methodology to take care of the society. In any case, whatever Varnashram, we are aware or we are not aware, whatever duties of ourselves we are aware, we should do that duties very perfectly. Whatever duties we have as a husband, as a wife, as a brahmachari, as a sannyasi, we should do our duties very perfectly. We should not neglect our duties. We should not do others' duty. When we do that, then we are pleasing Krishna. If we omit our duty and do others' duty, then that doesn't please us. So in Varnashram, everybody is prescribed their karma, their occupation, as per their guna, as per their qualities. And with respect to those qualities, we perform our occupation for the pleasure of Krishna. So in modern society, where Varnashram is not established properly, whatever duties we have, they are imperfect, they have faults, but still we perform our duties and give the results to Krishna. When we do our dharma, our kartavya, our swadharma, our duties, and give result to Krishna, then all the faults or imperfections which are there in the duties, they are purified. So we give our results to Krishna and we do sadhana, Bhagavata Vidhi. We attend Mangalarti, we chant the holy names of Krishna, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we serve devotees, we assist in preaching mission. So we do our Varnashram duties, we give the results to Krishna, karma phala, and we do our Bhagavad Dharma, we do our sadhana nicely, then our life is perfect, our life is successful, we please Krishna by our sadhana, by our purity, by our charity, and by our duties, everything. And by that, we go back home. So one should not neglect his duty, one should not neglect his sadhana, should do both, in that way, we become successful spiritually. Okay? We end there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Then questions you will take.
So after the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira